It is 4 p.m. on a Thursday. You're tuned to Katie and Kay, and it is time again for Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, and joining me for today's show is Erin Riccio, Advocacy Director for Wilderness Workshop. We're going to talk a little bit about the work that Wilderness Workshop is doing lately, as well as their community party on Thursday, June 12th. This is free and open to the public from 5:30 to 8:30 in Sopris Park. Erin, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Raleigh. I really appreciate you having me on the show to share a little bit more about the work that we do and share some exciting details about our upcoming event next week.
So before we jump into the event, and I'm sure you have lots to tell us about how busy Wilderness Workshop, I imagine, has been with everything that's happening on the federal level. Why don't you give us a brief history of your involvement with Wilderness Workshop? How did you come into this work?
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up on Colorado's Front Range, and I've always been really interested in the environment and conservation. It's sort of been a part of my family's history living in the state and sort of the conservation ethos that was instilled in me by my grandfather and other family members. And so, you know, when I moved to the Roaring Fork Valley, I was really excited to learn about Wilderness Workshop and the wonderful work that this organization has done for many years around protecting our local public lands. And so I've been working at the organization for about 5 years now in the role of advocacy director. And it's been such a privilege to work on protecting these places that our community cares so deeply about and helping them kind of find their own power and voice in these decisions.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about what is an average week for you as advocacy director.
Oh man, that can look like a variety of different things. You know, it can be responding to something that's happening at the federal level, a decision coming down from the Trump administration or Congress that impacts our local public lands here, figuring out how we want to respond to that. It can be working with community members on providing public comments. Say there is a resource management plan for local Bureau of Land Management lands, helping them understand how they can get engaged in the process and have a voice in the management of their public lands. You know, it could be coming here and talking to you to promote an event that we're working on. It could be so many different things. And that's why I love this job so much. It's so dynamic. There's so many different things that my day could look like.
Mm-hmm. And so you're closely following what's happening on the federal level, because I think even for us at the newspaper, with so much affecting so many different aspects of life in mm-hmm. America all at once, it's hard to keep up with. And then there are some really important things, I think, that people are not even noticing, mm-hmm. Like things that will affect our forests and the management of our forests. You know, lots of people are already aware of how many federal employees have lost their jobs already. And then we're looking at big spending cuts mm-hmm. for other things, as well as really encouragement for industry to open up public lands for more extraction. So that's my brief description. You obviously know a lot more. So why don't you tell us about some of the really urgent things that are happening that Wilderness Workshop's paying attention to?
Yeah, definitely. And that's sort of a great overview of a lot of things that we're seeing coming down from the federal government as it relates to our local public lands. I do want to share some good news to start
of
something
great.
We've been tracking.
We need that.
Yes, we definitely need more of that. You know, so a big process that we've been tracking is the budget reconciliation process. And this is a big piece of federal legislation that goes through both chambers of commerce that's around the budget. But there's oftentimes much bigger impacts to all kinds of things facing our nation, including public land. So that piece of legislation was just finalized in the House of Representatives. It still does need to go through the Senate. And at one point in that piece of legislation, there was a provision that was added to sell off about 500,000 acres of public lands in Utah and Nevada. Now, while this isn't public land in Colorado, obviously alarm bells were raising across the country, because if we are able to sell public lands in other states, what's to stop them from selling public lands here in Colorado? And luckily, due to a ton of advocacy from Wilderness Workshop and our members, but also, you know, folks all across Colorado and across the nation, that provision was actually struck from the House budget bill before it went to a final vote. So it just goes to show that speaking up and using your voice really does have a big impact. We still do need to stay vigilant. There's obviously a chance that could get added back in the Senate version, in which case we'll need folks to be, you know, calling their senators, writing letters to the editors, doing all of the wonderful things they did to help influence this decision on the House side. But, you know, it just goes to show that there's power in your advocacy. And so that's something that we were really closely tracking and are still going to continue tracking as it moves to the Senate. But did want to share that good piece of good news with the listeners.
Yeah, that's very encouraging, because I think a lot of people begin to feel like the letters they send just go into a void, and they begin to question whether our democracy is functioning in that way anymore, whether our representatives are truly being influenced by their constituents. But it sounds like in this case, it was effective, all of the outreach that occurred.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to kind of put a finer pin on that point, Representative Hurd, who is our congressional representative for folks in Congressional District 3, so I'm assuming the majority of your listener base here, when it was before the House Natural Resources Committee, which he sits on, he did vote against the amendment that was added for sell-off for public lands. He was the only Republican to do so. He did, of course, vote for the package, but it just goes to show that he's, again, hearing from his constituents. And so, as you said, you might feel like you're writing into the void or screaming into the void, whatever it is. But, you know, the more that we can collectively all stand up for something and push for something, I think that makes a really big impact. And we're seeing that in the way that some of our folks in Congress are voting.
Jeff Hurd's caught a lot of heat, so it's good to hear that in this situation he voted as a person representing his constituents and not just with his party.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. So public land sell-off, mm-hmm. Good news.
Yes. Yeah.
What is some of the other news that you would share with our listeners who haven't been paying so much attention to this aspect in particular?
Yeah, I think another piece of good news that came out of the budget reconciliation bill, and I do want to say there's a lot of bad news in that bill as well for public lands and many other things, but, you know, there are two resource management plans that our community has been working on for local BLM lands, for lands here in the Roaring Fork Valley, but also west towards Grand Junction and many other places. And there was a provision in that bill that also would have prevented the implementation of those management plans. And, you know, nearly a decade of work has gone into that on our community, from our community and many other folks. And so that was really encouraging to see that get taken out as well due to a lot of public pressure. So that's another thing that we're paying attention to. Something else we're really excited about is that Senators Bennett and Hickenlooper introduced on the Senate side a piece of legislation called the Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act. And while a lot of that land is over in the Gunnison Valley and that area, there is land that our community cares about over here, since obviously county lines don't always follow geographical boundaries in the same way. So, you know, there's some lands in Pickens County that are really important to our community that are included in this bill, lands over in the North Fork Valley. And I'll also say that a companion bill was introduced by Representative Hurd in the House side. So not just these bad things being blocked, but also some really good proactive measures being still introduced in Congress. And hopefully we'll see those advance.
Mm-hmm. And what of the wild and scenic designation efforts for the Crystal River? I know that Wilderness Workshop has been involved in that.
Yeah, and I can't speak with a ton of specificity there, since it's been my colleague Michael who's been a little bit more involved and plugged into those efforts. But there have been a lot of great community conversations about what the future for the Crystal River could look like. There's been a stakeholder process that's been ongoing the past year. And so I think myself and many other community members are really looking forward to what comes next when it comes to protecting the Crystal River, which is something that I know so many people really value and care a lot about.
Mm-hmm. For folks who are just now tuning in, this is Raleigh Burley. You're tuned to Everything Under the Sun, and I'm speaking with the Wilderness Workshop Advocacy Director, Aaron Riccio, who just gave us some updates about the landscape federally. What are some of the things that Wilderness Workshop needs from us, mm-hmm. the community? And then we'll talk about the community party,
yeah.
which is going to be so much fun.
Yeah. I think what we really need is for you all to stay involved and engaged. And we've really seen the benefits of the community's involvement and engagement from some of the things I just shared around, you know, what was removed from the budget bill. So it's really important that we all continue to use our voice and speak up for these wild places that have shaped so many of our lives. Wilderness Workshop, we really try to make it easy for folks to get involved because we know that these processes are a little complicated, they're a little bit wonky, and we want to make sure that we make it as easy as possible for people to use their voices. So we've created a project called the Conservation Watchdog. It's a web page on Wilderness Workshop's website where you can find the latest information on what's going on with our public lands, what are the latest threats, and how you can stay involved. So that can look like contacting your member of Congress. That could be writing letters to the editor. We have resources for all of those things. We also send out periodic emails. So if you're on our email list, you'll kind of get updates through the Conservation Watchdog program that way. Another thing that we've recently launched is our Public Lands Protection Fund. So this is another really important way that you can support the work of Conservation Watchdog and other ways that Wilderness Workshop is using to fight back to protect these special places. This is a donation program, so if you want to help contribute to efforts like Conservation Watchdog, you can go to the Public Lands Protection Fund, which is also a webpage on Wilderness Workshop's website.
Okay, great. And not only does Wilderness Workshop do this important advocacy on behalf of the community and get the community involved and pay such close attention to what's coming down, but you also throw this annual party. It's typically been in conjunction with First Friday. This year, it's on Thursday, June 12th in Cypress Park. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that decision to not do it on First Friday this year and also what people can expect?
Yeah, so the community party, as you said, it's an annual event that we do. It's really just a celebration of our community, you know, without whom none of this work that we've done would have been possible. And it's usually on a first Friday, or at least has been the past few years. And we decided to try a Thursday this year just because there are so many things going on that our community does. So we wanted to leave space for other community events to flourish and take advantage of the first Friday. And so I hope that people will still come out with it being on a Thursday. I think that that provides people with the opportunity to still come, have a good time. And then if they're going out of town for the weekend, it affords them that opportunity as well. But it's a really fun event. We have live music by Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Buckets. We have a lot of food trucks that come. So Chef's Cart will be there, as will Mama's Pierogies, Mountain Heart Brewing. And we have a lot of activities for all ages, including kiddos. So I recommend folks come by Thursday, June 12th from 5:30 to 8:30 in Cypress Park in Carbondale.
And the Cypress Sun will also be there as a media sponsor. I hear Katie and Kay as well. Any other organizations that you're aware of that will have a presence?
I don't think so for this community party. We do really try to highlight our media sponsors since you all help make this event so possible. In the past, we've hosted different organizations, like different conservation or environmental groups that have done work to contribute to the protection of the Thompson Divide, so we can show that it's a collective community effort. But really, what we're hoping to showcase with this year's community party is that it is the result of each and every one of us that, you know, the wins that we've had to protect these special places have come to fruition, and it's on each and every one of us to continue to defend these places.
And what about speeches?
Well, I usually go up there and provide a little bit of, I don't want to say excitement, but, you know, I try to get people excited about the work that we do, talk a little bit about what we have coming up over the summer. We do a lot of really fun event programming that we like to highlight. But I think the big feature of this year's community party is really going to be that live music piece. And Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Buckets are a really fun local band. If you've never seen them before, they are super entertaining. So I think this is a great chance for the community to see all the fun stuff that they can do. They have some fun originals, fun covers, and just a great local band that will be having a lot of good stage time at this event.
Well, in addition to supporting local bands like Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Buckets, couldn't help but notice this beautiful poster was created by Vanessa Porras, who is a friend and a previous editor of our Spanish newspaper Sol del Valle. And when I first saw the image, I had to stop and look at it closer because mm-hmm. it drew me in. It's so beautiful. Could you describe a little bit the prompt and what's happening with this image?
Yeah, so this image, for folks who haven't seen it, I imagine some of you might have seen it up and around in your favorite businesses in the community, but it's a really beautiful image. It is Mother Nature surrounded by a heart that features a lot of the different iconic landscapes in our area. And these are landscapes that Wilderness Workshop and our membership and others in the community have long worked to protect. So there's places that we all know and love, like the Maroon Bells. There's also Red Table Mountain, the Rhone Plateau, the Crystal River, the Thompson Divide, just a whole bunch of places that are so special to our community. And what we really wanted to demonstrate with this poster art was a proactive, positive, forward vision for our public lands. I think it's really easy to get sucked into all of the threats, which, you know, we are continuing to work on, but I think what we wanted to say with this piece of art, but also sort of with the theme of this year's community party, is that we're not going to stop proactively trying to protect these special places despite what's going on at the federal government. Our community deserves it. These places deserve it. So we're going to continue to work to advance protections for these landscapes that mean so much to so many people. And so that's what we wanted to really feature in this artwork. And I think that Vanessa really knocked it out of the park with the final product.
I think it really shines through, and I think it could be interpreted to be like, this is Mother Nature, the blue-haired woman whose mm-hmm. arms are creating a heart as she embraces these beloved public lands. But for me, it also communicates like, this is coming from a place of love. It's mm-hmm. not like anything other than a great appreciation for the outdoors, for these very just insanely beautiful landmarks that we live among mm-hmm. And the way those affect our lives. And I think it also anchors us in the history of Wilderness Workshop.
Yeah.
Especially with the Maroon Bells kind of right there at the top.
Yes.
Could you explain a little bit of that history for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something I love to share with folks. We have a really wonderful and colorful history, I would say, in the Valley. So Wilderness Workshop was founded by three women in the late 60s, and these three women came to be affectionately known as the Maroon Bells as a trio. Mm-hmm. And these three women were just really dedicated community members who cared so passionately about the public lands and wild places in their backyard. And so they, along with their friends and other community members, all volunteers, by the way, waged several really successful campaigns to protect these special places. And you can see that if you look all around us in this valley. So these women were successful in getting, in addition to the Maroon Bell Snowmass Wilderness, the creation of the Collegiate Peaks Wilderness, the Ragged's Wilderness, the Hunter Frying Pan. The list is pretty extensive. How effective that these three volunteer women who just were so dedicated to protecting these special places were able to accomplish. And so obviously since then, we now have about 10 paid staff mm-hmm. That are a part of our organization. But it really did start just the heart of it is an all-volunteer grassroots organization. And we too try to stay true to that mission and that spirit even today.
Wow, it's incredible how much they accomplished.
Yes.
And so you mentioned that there will be more events, that it's not just the community party and chow. There are more events to enjoy this summer. Why don't you give us a rundown?
Yeah, absolutely. So every year, Wilderness Workshop does a lot of really wonderful summer programming. It's mostly outdoors. It's just a way to get folks out on these landscapes to experience these wonderful places that we're trying to protect. So we always do some hikes. We do some restoration projects, and we have a lot of really great partners on those, like the Roaring Fork Outdoor Volunteers. We do some happy hours in the summer, too, where we help get people up to speed on different issues that are impacting our public lands and how they can get involved. And something I want to plug that's coming up actually pre-community party this weekend on Saturday evening is we're doing a photo workshop with a very renowned conservation photographer named John Mull, and he's coming up from the Front Range, and he's going to be teaching folks about how to capture these landscapes. And we'll be doing that up at the Rude Eye Overlook Trail in Basalt, hoping to capture some great photos of Red Table Mountain featured in the community party poster. But folks can come to that with kind of any level of experience with photography. He'll teach you the basics you can bring if you have like a nice DSLR camera, you can bring that, but you can also just bring an iPhone or a cell phone, and he'll be able to work with that too. So I think it's a really cool opportunity, because conservation photography has long had a really important role in sort of these campaigns to protect these wild places. Like, telling the story through photographs has been hugely impactful, whether it's convincing members of Congress or helping get buy-in from the general public. And so, you know, to have our community member be a part of these efforts and kind of learn the tips and tricks, it's a really cool opportunity. So I highly suggest, if you have not signed up yet, you visit our website, www.wildernessworkshop/events, and get signed up for that.
Mm-hmm. And just to be sure, that's Saturday, June 7th?
Yes. So it's coming up, but mm-hmm. we still have space. So if you're interested, I highly encourage you to sign up.
Cool. And I imagine that www.wildernessworkshop.org, right?
Yes.
Probably the landing place for all the good things that you've described throughout our interview today.
Yes. And we'll be continuing to update that webpage with our summer events. We don't have all of them up yet, but we are going to get those up. So keep checking and stay tuned, because we're going to have a lot of really fun, exciting opportunities for the community this summer.
Will there continue to be Defiende bilingual hikes as well?
Yes, absolutely. So with our summer event programming this year, we are offering a translation option. So if you register and you would like translation services, you can indicate so in your registration form. In that way, any of our programming can be bilingual if there are folks that would like to take advantage of that resource. That being said, we will also be offering some specific programs as bilingual Defiende programs. So we're mm-hmm. doing a really fun community science project over in the Homestake Valley, which, if folks aren't familiar, that's kind of over by the Minturn Red Cliff area. We've been doing this, I think this is our third or fourth year, I think maybe our third year, doing this community science project. And we've done that program bilingually the past few years. It's really fun. It's just a great opportunity to get out and see these really impressive wetlands in an area that's been threatened by a new dam and reservoir. And the community just goes out and you inventory all of the different wildlife and plant species that you're seeing. It's approachable for all ages, and it's really, really fun.
I joined two summers ago.
Oh, that's right.
Had a great time in the ferns, right?
The fens.
Fens.
Yes.
And the fens, not the ferns. There may have been a fern or
two. There probably were ferns involved, but
there's nothing like a bio blitz where you have really enthusiastic naturalists counting species and opening your eyes. Like, I feel like there's this quality to a hike where mm-hmm. until somebody points it out to you, you might never see that flower. And then after you know it's there, you'll see it again and again and again. And it's almost like there are so many things all around us that are invisible until somebody shows us. And then they're so evident, like magic.
Yeah. It's a really cool event. And thank you for reminding me that you attended it a few years ago. It's just, I think it's a really hands-on way to understand what we're trying to protect, because that area is so rich in biodiversity. And you brought up the fens, which are they're a very rare type of wetland that we have here in Colorado and other parts of the country, and they take thousands of years to form. They're incredibly ancient, and once these places have been destroyed, you can't get them back. They're irreplaceable. And so just demonstrating to the community how important this resource is, and helping the community have the chance to document that, I think has been a really wonderful experience for many people. And we're excited to partner with some of our partners moreover in that side of the area that we work in. So the Eagle River Coalition, Walking Mountain Science Center, and Movimiento will all be involved.
And the Homestake Valley is under threat of being underwater, right?
Yes.
If there's a big dam constructed there to basically move water to the Front Range.
Yeah, exactly. So that area has been threatened actually multiple times with the potential of building a new dam and reservoir. And there is an existing dam and reservoir that's kind of at the foot of the valley. But there's been a recent attempt to consider a new project that would move a lot of water, as you said, from the West Slope to the Front Range. And another concern is that it could potentially reduce the boundaries of the Holy Cross Wilderness, in addition to drowning and draining these irreplaceable fen wetlands.
Well, in the year I was there, there was also geologists pointing out that there's like a one-of-a-kind geological feature in the valley that certain people study specifically have a life built upon mm-hmm. or a career, at least this really specific geography there.
Yeah.
Well, we are actually just about out of time. Is there anything else with our final few minutes that you want to highlight?
You know, I think I would just encourage folks to visit Wilderness Workshop's website and get involved in any way you can. I've plugged our conservation watchdog work, our public lands protection fund, all of the great and fun community events that we have coming up. I think it's really important for people to stay engaged, especially in this day and age and with everything that's going on. So I really encourage you to become a part of the Wilderness Workshop family, whether that's making a donation, attending an event, or taking action through our conservation watchdog work. None of this is possible without all of you. So thank you for all the efforts that have gone into protecting the wild places of the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond.
We really appreciate the Wilderness Workshop team, especially being neighbors at the Third Street Center right down the hallway, and all the different ways, whether it be like the newsletter that goes out physically in the mail, or as you mentioned, those watchdog emails that I've been getting that have helped keep me up to date on what's happening as far as public lands go with the federal government now. So thank you, Erin Riccio, for all your work as advocacy director at Wilderness Workshop. And we'll look forward to celebrating with you at the community party.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you so much, Raleigh.
Thank you, listener, for tuning into Everything Under the Sun. Once again, Wilderness Workshop's community party is Thursday, June 12th from 5:30 to 8:30 in Soperus Park. Stay tuned for a regional roundup coming up next.
Since I've never played this together.